why is the resurrection of Jesus Christ so important? Today I want to deal with the gospel in simple terms and highlight one of the most important parts of it. You know, every Christian is called to spread the gospel. We all have a part to play in the fulfilling of the Great Commission. But how can you share something that you don't understand? And how can you share it in a way that somebody who is completely unchurched, completely unsaved, does not know the Bible's first book, how can you share that in a way that they can understand? So consider this a basic explanation of this gospel that we speak about so often in the church. Now, this topic is covered in my upcoming book that's coming out May 19th, Pentecost Sunday. It's called Demonstrate, and I deal with the importance of the gospel needing to not just be talked about, not just be preached about, not just being relegated to the pages of the Bible, but understanding that God's power and this gospel that we preach can not only just be preached, but it can also be experienced. The power of God that we see throughout Scripture can be experienced today. And people in this generation don't need to hear about a God that can do all these great and wonderful things, but they need to experience it for themselves and see the benefit of it come to their life. So I deal with this in the book. So consider this also a little insight into that, but I'm not going to completely spoil it for you. You have to get the book. And if you don't get it, I'm coming after you. May 19th, put it in your calendar, get it on Amazon. So let's jump into this. Let's start in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And if you want to know, in the most basic sense, what the gospel is, the Apostle Paul tells you in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So let's go there. Start in verse 1. The Apostle Paul says in verse 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel," or the good news, "which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Now watch this. "For I delivered to you," verse 3, "first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then the 12. Watch this. In verse 3 and verse 4, watch what he says here. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he was rose again. So if you want to understand what the gospel is in the most simple terms, this is it. Christ died for our sins. Christ was buried. And then Christ rose again on the third day. And if you read on in this chapter, he deals with the return of Christ too. So you could add in the soon return of Christ into that too. Four parts of the gospel. Christ came and died for the sins of the world. He was buried, but even though he was dead, on the third day he rose again, and he's getting ready to come back again to this earth. So let's run through this quickly. The first part of the gospel, Christ died for our sins. And if you've been around this channel, if you're familiar with my ministry, I've dealt with this a lot and in depth, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. But you have to understand that through Adam and Eve, the first humans ever created, they were created perfect. They were created without sin. They were created without a sin nature. God created them perfect, and he was in continuous fellowship with them. But because of sin, because of their disobedience to God's commands, you can read this in Genesis chapter 3, because of their disobedience, they opened up the door to sin. And when sin came in, it did not just affect them, but it polluted their bloodline. And any person that came after them was affected by sin. Any person that came from them was dealt and was marred by the same stain of sin that they had. It didn't bypass anybody. Every single human from the time of Adam and Eve till now has a sin nature. That's why you don't have to teach a child to be bad. That's why you don't have to teach a child to do wrong. It's like it's ingrained in them because that's a sin nature. That's a sin nature. It seems like you have to teach them to do right because human nature is hardwired against the things of God. It's hardwired against the commands of God. And you don't have to teach them to do wrong. They just do it because it's in them. But the good news of that is that Jesus Christ, the only person who ever was not affected by the sin nature, was born of a virgin, came to earth, 100% God, 100% man. He came and he sacrificed his life and shed his blood and died on the cross for the sins of the world. Understand this. Because of sin, the only way the price of sin could be paid was somebody had to come and die and shed sinless blood to atone for that. That is the only way. And nobody on the earth was able to do that. So Jesus Christ came, and he came in the form of a man and took that place. And he died on the cross for our sins. But what happened when he died on the cross? He broke the power of sin so that anybody who receives this sacrifice does not have to live under the hold of sin anymore. They can live in complete victory over sin. Watch this. Go to Romans and chapter 5. Watch what the Apostle Paul says here in speaking about this. Let's start in verse 15. Watch what he says here. He says, but there's a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. Okay, watch this. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we were guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Watch the end of verse 17 again. All who receive this gift, receive what Jesus Christ did, will live in triumph over sin through Jesus Christ. So because of Adam, through Adam's sin, sin and death became the master of humanity. It became your ruler. But because of Jesus Christ, which we call the second Adam, the Bible calls the second Adam, because of Jesus Christ, he broke the power of sin and flipped the situation so that humans now can live in triumph over the thing that used to triumph them. Watch that. That's why you have to understand that when you get saved, you're not being saved to continue to struggle with sin. You're not being saved to continue to stay in a war and a fight with sin. Because Jesus Christ came and died, because he was the perfect sacrifice and the propitiation for our sins, because he did that, now when we receive him, all we can do now is live in triumph over sin. We're not staying in a continuous fight. We're living in continuous victory over sin. And how does that happen? What does the Bible say in verse 17? Receive it. All who receive it will live in triumph. It didn't say all who work for it, all who do enough penance for it, all who do enough good works, then they'll receive this free gift. It doesn't work like that. You receive it by faith. I'm a sinner. I'm guilty. I've done much wrong. I don't deserve this. But Jesus Christ stepped in my place, took my punishment, and I receive that. I receive him. And when you receive him, you receive his ability to live free from sin. You receive his power to live from sin. And many people think that because they're such a dirty, rotten old sinner, that they have to work for their salvation. And the Bible tells you in Ephesians 2 that you're not saved by works. No amount of good works you do can get you saved. You cannot be saved if you, by how much you read your Bible, by how much you go to church, if I pray 20 hours a day, then I'll be saved. Even though that's good, and that is a mark of a true believer, and that is something that you should not neglect, you cannot be saved by those things. You are saved by accepting what Jesus Christ did on the cross, by accepting his defeat of sin. You receive that power to live free from it. You receive the power to triumph over it. And many people fall into the trap of thinking they got to work. I got to do this because, you know, I was the world's worst sinner. Not the case. Look at the Apostle Paul. He tells you that he was one of the world's worst sinners. That's what he said. He said he was the chief of sinners. But look what happened. Did Jesus Christ make him pay penance for his sin? No. He had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And it seemed like within a couple days, within I believe it was like 2 or 3 days, he was completely turned. He was a completely new man. And look what he accomplished. You don't have to work for your salvation. You don't have to put in enough work to make up for all the years that you were living in sin. It doesn't work like that. And I say this because I remember there was a story. I heard about a minister, and I was watching this actually. I heard about a minister who was attempting to cast the devil out of a man who came to his service, wanted deliverance. He was attempting to cast the devil out of him, and it wouldn't come out. And I mean, I kid you not, and this is not a slight against this preacher, but I kid you not, it was an hour of come out of him. The church was going in, people were praying, you know, people were going in and people were shucking and bucking down the place. But literally it was just an hour of come out of him. And this guy who was obviously tormented by an evil spirit, come out, and nothing was changing. Now, something is wrong in that situation. You can easily tell. It doesn't take rocket science to know that something is wrong. Because if you, as a believer, are given authority over the devil, and the devil is not obeying you to come out, then something is wrong. Something is blocking that thing from coming out. Something is blocking him from receiving his full deliverance. Now, the whole time, while he's telling this spirit to come out, this man who was supposedly possessed by this demon is screaming, "Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, forgive me of my sins." And I mean, he's working himself up. "Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Screaming. Now, here's the problem. Here's part of the problem. And I'm not here to diagnose the situation. But I knew, and I heard another minister say this too. So I think I'm on good ground by saying this. That part of the problem was not just I'm demon possessed, but part of the problem was wrong thinking. Because you're working up yourself, "Jesus, forgive me of my sins." It doesn't work like that. You don't have to work and push and sweat and lose your mind trying to get God to hear you, trying to get God to forgive you of your sins. It doesn't work. You don't work yourself into deliverance. You don't work yourself into salvation. You receive what Jesus Christ has already provided for you. And that's the part of that story that I want you to understand. That we're not here screaming, "Jesus, forgive us," until something falls from the heavens and helps us know in the natural that we're forgiven. It doesn't work like that. You receive what Jesus Christ already did. So when you come to Jesus Christ, don't come to him thinking that you got to work yourself up to receive forgiveness because you're such a dirty sinner. Just receive it by faith. "I'm a sinner. I lived a bad life. I was a mess, but I received Jesus Christ, what you did. I receive it and I thank you, Father, for it by faith." That's how you're saved. You call on the Lord in faith, you receive what he did for you, and your sins will be forgiven. And as I said, if you think you're a bad sinner, look at the Apostle Paul and look how God turned his life completely around within a matter of days. One encounter on the road to Damascus. And he sent him then to Ananias, who was a believer. And he got saved. He received his sight. And God had a great plan for his life. And look what happened to him. You don't have to work for your salvation. Don't fall into that trap. Why is that? Because as the Apostle Paul said in Romans 5 verse 17, all who receive what Jesus Christ did, what he did, will live in triumph over sin and death. So that's the first part of the gospel. Now, let's go to this most important part. He rose again. Now, we know that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of, if not the most important part of the gospel. And the reason why I say the most important part of the gospel is because if Jesus Christ never rose from the dead, this whole thing that we preach about, this whole thing that we believe is now in vain. It doesn't matter. Might as well just close up the Bible, give up. I might as well just give up, you know, come out the ministry, go get a regular job, forget all this, and live like a heathen. Because without the resurrection, there is no gospel. Without the resurrection, there is no freedom from sin. Without the resurrection, there is none of what we talk about and what we preach about. And the Apostle Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 15. Go down to verse 17. And as I said, he starts dealing now with the return of Christ and the resurrection of the dead, the future resurrection of the dead. And watch what he says in verse 16. He says, "And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you're still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in this world." Watch this. He said, if Jesus Christ had not been raised from the dead, then your faith is useless. And we, as believers, are the ones who should be the most pitied out of anybody in this world. Why is that? Because the Bible tells you in Ephesians 2 that when Jesus Christ died, your old sinful self was crucified with him. He also talks about this in Romans 6. Your old sinful self was crucified with him. But when he was raised from the dead, you were raised with him to a new life. What Jesus Christ did was what happened to you when you got saved. Your old sinful self that could not please God and was under the power of sin was crucified. It died and it was buried with him. But that one never rose from the dead. Just like Jesus Christ rose from the dead in a new glorified body, you were risen spiritually, living a new life. That old you that could not please God died and was never risen. But the new you, new creature in Christ, was risen from the dead with it. Now watch this. If Jesus Christ never rose from the dead, there is no new you. If Jesus Christ never rose from the dead, there is no new creation in Christ because he was the first one to do that. There is no new creature in Christ. There is no complete freedom from sin. It's just the same you. It's the same you who cannot please God. Then the whole gospel falls apart. Then there's no freedom from sin. And we're just preaching something that actually isn't true. We're just saying stuff that actually isn't true. And that's part of the reason why the enemy fights the resurrection of Jesus Christ so hard. You wonder why naysayers always come against the resurrection. I don't know if Christians believe in the resurrection. I don't know about that. There's no proof of that. Number one, if you search it up scientifically, there is proof. If you talk to scholars and people who are well learned in these things, there is a host of scientific proof, not only that Jesus Christ was a real man, but that he rose from the dead. That his resurrection was an actual event. It wasn't some fable. And the enemy fights that so hard because without the resurrection, there is no gospel. This whole thing falls apart. And without the resurrection, there's no new creature in Christ. Without the resurrection, you're still under his hold. But I have news for you. Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. He in fact rose from the dead, which tells every single person, which tells number one, every believer and every single person that comes to Christ, that there is a possibility for you to live a new life in Christ. There is a possibility for you to stop living under the curse of sin, addiction, bondage, things that the enemy has held you under, alcohol, drugs, everything. Your past, your messed up, dirty, jacked up past. There is freedom for you today. There's freedom through Jesus Christ. You've tried to get free by other means. You've tried to get free by using other things, other methods, and they have not worked. They have not worked. But Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the only way to your freedom. You cannot get free in the flesh because your flesh is messed up. It's under the curse of sin. It's under the power of sin. But Jesus Christ has provided a way out. And the devil don't like that. People don't like that. And they fight that. Well, I don't know what these Christians are talking about. They're just under something. Listen, I could tell you there's a bunch of Christians, including myself. And I say that humbly. That we're not duped. We lived lives that were displeasing to God. We lived lives that were not great. But Jesus Christ freed us from the power of sin. Freed us from our past. Freed us from our addictions. There are multiple testimonies that we tried to get free by other means and it didn't work. But when the power of God came in, we got free. That's not people who are duped. Those are people who know that this power that we speak about is actually real. And we're not running around shouting that Jesus Christ is the only way just off the top of our heads because somebody told us that. We've experienced that for ourselves. We've experienced it for ourselves. And we know that power can work. And people in the world need a remedy to their problems. And I'm telling that to you today. If that is you and you found your way onto this video and you're in that category, you're messed up, you're bound by an addiction, you're bound by a problem, something happened to you in your past that has messed you up and has really marked the course of your life, and you've been on a bad path, or you once were saved but you came off track, and now your life is in shambles right now, and you've tried any other way to get free and it hasn't worked, try Jesus. Jesus Christ is the only way to your freedom because he was the only one that came to give you freedom from sin. And he's not calling you to work for salvation. He's not calling you to do penance before you can be saved. He said, receive what I have done. And when you do that, you receive it by faith. You call on him in faith. That's all you do. It's as simple as that. And when you do that, you receive the ability to triumph over sin. That's the gospel. That is the gospel. That is the most important part of the gospel. You can be free from sin because Jesus Christ died. He was buried. He rose again. And he's coming back. You can live free from sin. You can live a new life in Christ Jesus today. Today is your opportunity to do that. This is your opportunity today to receive what he did. Don't leave this video and go back to living life on your own. And trying to live it through your own power, it's not going to work. It's going to mess you up. It's going to jack you up. Your life will end in ruin. You don't carry the power in yourself to free yourself from bondage, from sinful bondage, from the bondage of the enemy. He is more powerful than you as a human in your own strength. He is more powerful than you. But thank God for the power of God that has been offered to every single person. No matter how far you run, no matter how bad of a sinner you think you are, God could switch that around like he did with the Apostle Paul and turn you into a new man, turn you into a new woman. Today's your opportunity to receive that. So if that's you and you feel that you need to make that decision, you feel something tugging on you, you don't know what it is, but you feel something pulling on your insides, telling you you need to do that, that's the Holy Spirit. That's a conviction of the Holy Spirit coming on you right now. Answer that. And accept what Jesus Christ has done for you today. So I want you to pray with me if that's you right now. Pray with me sincerely from your heart. Many people haven't prayed in their lives before. That's why I lead you. But you pray this sincerely from your heart and God will hear you. Well, I'm messed up. I'm so bad. No. Those are the thoughts of the enemy. Throw that away right now. The Bible tells you that if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. You call on him in faith. You receive what he did for you. You will be saved. And you getting ready to pray right now, that's enough of an act of faith. That is an act of faith right now. You think faith is, oh, I need to do this and I need to do that. No, you getting ready to pray and ask God to forgive you of your sins and receive his power, that is an act of faith. And God will hear you when you call on him. So I want you to pray with me right now if that's you. Say sincerely from your heart, I want you to say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus Christ to sacrifice his life for my sin. I believe that he died and he was raised back to life for me. Now I ask you to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Now I receive the power to live holy until you return. I am no longer a sinner, But I am now a child of God. And I thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' mighty name, I am saved. Amen. If you just prayed with me and responded to God's call for salvation, I want you to now take the next step. I want to help you to begin to walk on this path of righteousness. Many people get to the point where they feel like, okay, I just got saved, but what do I do next? I want to help you with that. There's a link in the description that'll take you to a page on my website, and I want you to fill out the form there. And when you fill out that form, I'll send you some resources that will help you begin to walk on this path of righteousness and begin your walk with Christ. You don't have to walk this path alone. You have the help of the Holy Spirit, and now you also have my help. So I want to send you resources, I want to pray for you, and I want to help you to become a strong believer. So go ahead and click the link now.
God has made a way for his children to be totally liberated from the power of sin. But many Christians don't understand this. In Marlon Benjamin's book, Undefiled, he teaches that Christ put an end to sin's control and gave us the ability to resist all its temptations when they come. Order your copy now on Amazon or marlonbenjamin.net.